when that started to happen, it really just threatened everything about how I knew how the world worked. And mm-hmm. what's really interesting is it started to really, you know, I was really confronted with, you know, how I must have viewed people with disabilities. You know, there was me with a disability, but then I was really scared of being seen as somebody who is blind.
All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
So, with us tonight is Megan Kennedy. You're going to have to edit that silence out because I don't ever know what to say.
You just say that. I'm not editing it. This is the best part.
Cool. Good.
So
he loves to keep my awkward
I know
pauses.
Of Megan Kennedy. I met her
in high school
17 years ago.
Is that how long it is?
I mean, I think it was after our like junior prom or something.
Yeah.
Really?
We were at Sarah Mayer's house in the basement.
There you go.
That was regular prom.
Yeah.
That was regular. That was senior prom.
Senior, yeah.
At Sarah's.
Yeah.
Still a long time ago.
A very long
time. You guys went to high school together.
We did, yeah. Okay. So Megan and I have known each other since freshman year of high school. Okay, were you on the t-shirt team for basketball, or you were on like the real freshman? Or were you on JV?
I didn't make JV, I made the...
The team that actually
you guys got jerseys?
Jerseys.
Yeah, we got
not
jerseys.
Sarah
and I
were
on the t-shirt team.
I don't remember that.
Of course
that's
you don't.
So
remember
shocking. Of course you... Why, who would remember the
why
t-shirt team?
Why would you remember the t-shirt team? You made the real team. You had the white jerseys, didn't you?
I don't remember. I mean, they were like... It depended on whether it was a home game or away game.
Oh, they got two jerseys. You guys just had yellow
blue.
T-shirts.
No, they were blue.
Whatever.
They were awful. We were awful. And
you were the best of the worst, though.
I don't believe that for one minute. I don't believe I was the best of the worst.
You're the middle of the pack of the worst.
Yeah, that's accurate. That sums up my whole life.
I know. Somebody should make a t-shirt for you. A t-shirt team for you.
I'll get it tattooed on my body.
It's interesting that you actually bring up basketball because I think I have a story about that related to some of the questions that might come up. So I'm actually kind of fascinated that we happen to be talking about basketball at Notre Dame.
Our intros are super interesting.
They have been good before.
There's been many that are hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. If anybody would listen to this flipping show, they would find out about it.
There's nowhere for them to find it.
I know, that's fine. It's true.
Okay, so Megan... Who the hell do you think you are?
Shit. You told me that was going to be the question that you asked me, so I was like, oh, I'll be able to get this.
I
can answer that.
I'm Megan Kennedy. Let's see. You make it so, like, who the hell am I? Who the hell am I? I'm Megan Kennedy. I, you know, work at a corporate company, boring kind of corporate job. grew up with Jess Paddock, so I feel like she's a part of who I have become. She's contributed to...
You're welcome, America.
Yeah, exactly.
Lord, help us.
So, I think maybe we'll know a little bit more who the hell I am by the end of the podcast.
Cool. Okay.
So, you mentioned that you work for a corporate company, obviously mm-hmm. you don't need to say who, but what do you do for them? What mm-hmm. is your job? What do you do for work?
Mm-hmm. So I do something called diversity and inclusion. And basically I build out programs at the company where we try and create a workplace for employees where they feel like they belong, where they feel like they can engage, where they feel like they can contribute their ideas and their voices. So I build out programs for the company so that employees can kind of connect with what they're doing.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah.
What I know of a diversity program is, so a long time ago I did construction and there was minority inclusion programs mm-hmm. where it was based on how big the job was, how many workers were there, and they mm-hmm. would break down, you know, the recommended. Like a quota. Yeah, like unfortunately, that's what it was. Yeah. It ended up being a quota, and it always had like a stigma to it. Mm-hmm. What types of programs do you create for?
Yeah. Or what does that look like? Yeah, what does in that look 2020?
Like? 2020. So, right. Yeah, yeah. I think 2020. What I work on specifically for the company I work at are they're called business resource groups. And they're also known as employee resource groups. And basically, these are affinity groups within an organization that employees from different backgrounds can connect with. So we have currently, we're launching 5 business resource groups. We have one for people with disabilities. We have one for LGBTQ, veterans, women, and multicultural. And so we build out programs within these groups that align with the needs and the wants and the perspectives of employees that belong to those groups. So, for example, in the multicultural group, we're building out a mentoring program to help build skills and leadership within that community, because one of the things we want to do at the company is get people of color into the executive positions that we have at the organization. For the disability group, we're working on a self-ID campaign. We want to encourage employees who have disabilities to feel comfortable to self-identify as someone with a disability.
Rather than hide it or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And for the reason for that is that there are benefits, you know, health benefits that they may be able to tap into. It will give us insights as to just how we are doing from a company perspective on recruiting people with disabilities. And then the ultimate goal, there was a study that was released a couple of years ago. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's a super famous study called, I don't know the title of the study, but it was done by McKinsey and Company. Mm-hmm. Okay. And essentially what they found was, they did a study of all these different companies, and what the data showed was companies with leadership that are gender diverse and multiculturally diverse outperform their peers financially by like 30%. Mm. So there's a huge business benefit by creating opportunities and building companies that are diverse and inclusive. So now all these companies are like gung-ho because they want to like beat their competitors and outperform them.
That makes sense.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure we'll get into more of that or circle back. Who would you say is in your world?
Main people in my world are my husband, Ryan Kennedy. Excuse me. And I would say, the second biggest people in my life are my family. My sister has a 3-year-old, so I try and go to Chicago as frequently as possible to hang out with her. And then my coworkers. I'm fortunate to work on a really cool, team and people who are just super interesting and super smart. So, that makes up my world right now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Do you live by family? You don't live in St. Louis anymore, right?
Mm-mm, right, right. Yeah, actually, we moved to the East Coast. We didn't know anybody. So we've had to sort of build out a new community, which is challenging.
Yeah. It's pretty isolating.
Yeah. Even you know the East Coast. You were there for a long time.
Hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
And even when there's so many people around you, you feel very alone at times.
It's crazy.
It's hard to shake your head from that when, you know, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of things are you passionate about?
Let's see. I am a nerd, so I love reading. Hmm. I really love sci-fi shows and movies like Star Wars. I do something that I am actually passionate about is exploring different ways to heal. So I live with a disorder called Usher syndrome, and it's causing me to go deaf and blind. And so I'm constantly looking at sort of alternative ways to heal or just sort of slow down the progression of the blindness. And in that journey, I have really like transformed how I just feel like physically. I used to be tired all the time. Mm-hmm. Today, like I can go, like I literally like would wake up probably at like 7:30, have to just drag myself out of bed. I would need to take a nap. Maybe even two naps, and I wanted to go to bed by like 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
I would just be tired the whole day. And, you know, at the time I was eating a ton of sugar. I was eating a ton of, meat. I was eating a ton of bread. And, anyway, just over the years, I've gradually tried different things with my diet. I've tried different things with, yoga and exercise. I've tried, have you heard of, what's it called? Reiki?
Yes.
I've tried Reiki. I've done like acupuncture. And so now it's really just become, ooh, this sounds really interesting. I wonder how I'll feel after that. Mm-hmm. So that's a big passion of mine, just to try out different things on what can just sort of improve my experience from day to day.
What do you think is the reason that you're not as tired anymore?
I think the diet I have now, the mm-hmm. food and just eating cleaner. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
What other cool stuff have you like? I always get so Steve Elgin came mm-hmm. on the show, and he is a really big cannabis supporter, mm-hmm. and so he talks a lot about the endocannabinoid system and how it is in tune with your nervous system, mm-hmm. which is in tune with the rest of your body, and mm-hmm. how it's all affected. And so
yeah.
I always get super interested when people talk about stuff like this, because I'm yeah. like, what have you found? Like, are yeah. you eating more beets? And is that the cure? Like, so what yeah. types of things have you tried that you never would have thought to have tried, but have yeah. ended up making a benefit in your daily life?
Yeah. I would love to talk about, a cannabis, but because of the company I work for, I can't necessarily
okay.
talk about that, but there's, definitely some interesting things there. But, one of the things I tried was a Whole 30, mm-hmm. which yep. is basically like no sugar, no alcohol, nothing for 30 days. I literally didn't start trying any of this until I had met Ryan. Ryan's a big, he likes to experiment with diet and different things with exercise and physical performance. He was on strict paleo when I met him, and I tried the Whole 30. And it wasn't so much that like by the end of the 30 days, I was like, oh my God, I feel wonderful. It was when I started to go back and eat sugary things, and I woke up the next morning like I felt like I had a hangover.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, like so that was like the real moment where I was like, oh, like I see like how I can influence how I feel from a day-to-day basis yeah. based on what I'm putting into my body, kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because it makes sense. It's like the easiest thing to comprehend. Like, yeah. put natural things in your body and you feel good.
Yeah.
Put a bunch of plastic in your body, you feel like shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. I mean, literally, like, you hear all the time, but it's not until you try it where you like really get it. Where right. you really get it. And like, I think the key thing for me is like, I thought I always expected like to just like notice this moment of like just like power, you know, like yeah. just like how I thought of it.
You could lift a car.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really just a gradual thing, and like the moment hits you when you go back to your old habits, and you're like, oh, I don't want to feel this way, you know. It's like mm-hmm. a gradual kind of change.
Yeah.
Who, and this might, you might have already answered this, but I don't want to assume that. Who helps you run your world?
And what do you mean by that?
Generally,
who influences people, your day to day to mm-hmm. allow you to do what you do,
or like who's your support system mm-hmm. if you know everybody needs one in one aspect or another.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody that you lean on and helps you with your day to day?
Yeah. You know, I've worked really, really hard over the years to build independence. That's been something that's been so important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, because when I found out I was losing my vision, I was no longer able to drive. And so then I had to, like, depend on people to drive me everywhere. And it's, like, awful when you have to have your mom and dad when you're 21 and ask them to drop you off at the bar to go hang out, like, with yeah. your friends, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I've been on a journey just really focused on being able to rely on myself and be independent. And if you had asked me that question just even a few years ago, I would say it would be Ryan, my husband. He's been my biggest advocate in terms of support. Never hesitates to have to drive me somewhere. Is like the most like encouraging, like kindest, like woman power, you know, feminist, and has like the deepest understanding. He's probably like gets me more than anybody in terms of like what I go through on a day-to-day basis with a disability. And so just from an emotional standpoint, from a practical standpoint, I would say that Ryan is my biggest supporter.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What, I mean, and again, I don't want to assume, but if I was in your shoes, I know what I would struggle with, and it's probably that sense of independence. Mm-hmm. And, So what types of things do you struggle with?
Yeah, exactly that. It's on a daily basis, just like, how do I get to where I want to go? So in St. Louis, I've been here for a few weeks. It's always super challenging because there's not really a great public transportation system. So
there's not.
It's scheduling rides ahead of time, making sure, you know, that I'm set up for the week. It's crazy to think, but I want to say when I moved out to Colorado 4 or 5 years ago, Lyft wasn't here yet. And when I moved out to Colorado, it was there. And, like, suddenly I could just, like...
Go
take out this app, which was accessible. Like, first of all, it was accessible for me to be able to use. I could read it and use it versus, like, a taxi app or whatever. And then just go somewhere and have it be affordable. And Denver has a really great public transportation system, so that was super helpful as well. But that was something that I didn't have here in St. Louis. So when I came back, and I've been here for the last several weeks, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe like how much easier it would have been if Lyft had been here.
Mm-hmm. We're a little behind here.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's great that they have that now. I also use a cane. I have a guide dog. She's retired now. But I use a cane to get around. But I think the biggest challenge is just learning how to plan ahead of time to get to the places that you want to go to. Because I usually have to take extra time. Since I don't drive, I have to take extra time to, if I'm going to a new place, looking at a map. Sometimes I go travel the route before a scheduled appointment or whatever, because I can't read street signs, and so I just get myself familiar with where I'm going. So it's just a lot of planning to maintain that independence.
So, and I mean, you seem to be a badass and to have worked hard to like to build
yourself
up. I don't
feel like one, but
no, sure. Most of them don't, I don't think. But so those are all like day-to-day tactical, like
survival
type of things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. What is the emotional toll? What is it like to, I mean, you were young when this started. I mean, you just mentioned you were 21 getting dropped off. So I assume it happened then or earlier. What's that like for a young woman to have to like figure out the corporate world and fight this and fight living in a different city with like, what is that? How do you maintain your sanity?
Yeah. So it's different day to day. Like there are some days where I'm like, I can own it and I'm like, yes, you know, like I'm proud of my disability. It makes me, you know, different and I stand out. And then other days I just want to like crawl under the covers and just like not exist, you know, like, and that sounds suicidal. That's not what I mean by that.
Sure.
It's just more just, I don't want to deal with it. You know, so this is what it was doing to me, and this is where I am today. So found out when I was 21, I was in college studying architecture, and suddenly, like, I was just like, how am I, you know, I just picked a career that relies on your eyesight, and so suddenly I started to question everything, you know, how am I going to take care of myself? Are my mom and dad going to have to take care of me forever? Is anybody...
Sure.
Gonna want to date me, you know, like, are people gonna want to be seen with me? You know, when you're 21 and you're, you know, you're just still kind of out of high school. Like, mm-hmm. you think of a lot of these things that may seem vain, but there were just a lot of things about my image that I was really concerned about. And then also just long-term concerns about, you know, what job am I going to have? I'm about to get a degree in architecture. I don't know how long I can practice that for. So it's a challenge for self-esteem for sure. So much so for me, I found myself at 27 and I was unemployed and I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find anybody who would hire me. You know, I'd walk into the interview with a cane and they would do the kindness of going through the interview with me, but I would never get a call back. And I started to take out government payments, disability, Social Security. And I was just like, for 2 years, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not getting experience right now. Accessibility and technology wasn't quite there yet where it is sure. today. So I couldn't necessarily build any skills. And I didn't have money to go do anything. And I was really, really, really depressed and really scared, you know, that I was going to live with my parents until they died. And then what was I going to do after that?
Right.
I came across something that made me realize that my mindset was really keeping me stuck. And started reading, started doing these different mindfulness exercises. Did a lot of therapy and did so much mindset work, and I could go on and on about it, but essentially within a period of, so I was 29, I was still on disability, I'm 35 now, so within about 5 years I went from being on Social Security and now I'm making well into the six figures at this corporate company, rising with lots of opportunities, and that I think is attributed to the mindset.
For sure.
So it can take a huge emotional toll when you're stigmatized like that with a disability, but mindset I really is really where it's at and has changed my life.
So nothing changed externally and nothing changed with your disability. Mm-hmm. The only things that changed is your mindset yeah. since then.
Yeah, in fact, my disability had gotten worse over the years.
Really?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's like you're going like this. Like.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So can you, I've known you for a long time, so you... Adam is not peeing. He's pouring wine.
not peeing.
So you were born legally deaf, is that right?
Yeah, I was born... the way they measure hearing loss is through decibels, and it goes up to like 120 or 130. So it's not necessarily... you can't equate it necessarily to like 80 or 90%, but... It's easier, like what the doctors say, you know, is roughly about an 80 to 90% hearing loss is what I have. So that was present when I was born.
Right.
And then the blindness part, it's a part of the hearing loss that I have. It's connected to the same genetic disorder. But I was born with all of my vision, 20/20, all the peripheral field. But it's a form of retinitis pigmentosa, and retinitis pigmentosa just gradually... your rods and cones and your retina die off and you lose your vision gradually over time. So when I was 21, I had lost enough of that vision to finally have the doctors catch what was going on.
Gotcha. So you didn't... And Usher syndrome is the loss of your vision and your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Are most people born deaf, as in your case? Is that how it works?
There's three different variations of Usher syndrome. So... the most common kind is the kind that I have, where you're born with the hearing loss and then you lose vision over time. There's another kind where you're born with all of your hearing and all of your vision, but you lose it within like the first 10 years okay. of your life. And then there's a third kind, and I forget how that one manifests itself. anyway, they're another variation that works slightly differently than those two. But there's a third component to Usher syndrome, and that's vestibular loss. So people with Usher syndrome also struggle with balance, and it can vary a little bit. So for me, it's relatively mild, but I can be standing there, and you'll start to see me just kind of lean over and tip, and just really random. I have a really hard time with stairs, too, so I have to, hold on to something when I'm going up and downstairs.
Gotcha. So what was your mindset as a person with hearing loss, you know, for 21 years?
Yeah.
And then what was your mindset from 21 to 35? Because you always had a disability, mm-hmm. I guess, technically, but what did you think about before you were 21?
I think the difference is that I always knew life being hearing impaired. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel like the loss of having been able to hear before. So it's just how I was always navigating the world. I had, adapted to it, since I was a kid. So it was just all very natural to mm-hmm. me. And it didn't feel like a burden, it didn't feel like a struggle. I mean, certainly there were times where I'm just being in situations and I was just what, and it would be frustrating, but it wasn't something where I felt oh my gosh, this is really impairing my life.
Okay.
Then as I started to lose my vision, it changed my mindset because I knew what it was like to see, and adapting, knowing what something is like before to something different is really, really hard.
Sure.
And you really, really feel the loss of that because you've experienced the joy of vision. So when that started to happen, it really just threatened everything about how I knew how the world worked. And mm-hmm. what's really interesting is it started to really, I was really confronted with, how I must have viewed people with disabilities. There was me with a disability, but then I was really scared of being seen as somebody who is blind. Does that make sense? So I was questioning, who am I? Am I just,
Sure. How dare I be seen right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you know, so when you were younger mm-hmm. and you had the hearing loss, did you know that you had Usher?
Mm-mm, no.
So you didn't.
There wasn't genetic testing yet.
Okay, so you didn't know until you started to lose your sight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And there were things that were happening leading up to that moment where I got the diagnosis, but I didn't connect it to the fact that I was my vision was deteriorating.
Yeah.
It was really confusing.
Well, and I certainly had never heard of Usher syndrome until you had it.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither.
We're going to an Usher syndrome gala, and I thought...
Yeah.
You thought Usher was going to be there?
Yeah. Be great. No, obviously, but I'm that's all I ever heard of Usher.
Right. Well, that's not all you ever heard of Usher. We've all heard of Usher.
Okay, so what things are hard for you to say no to?
It's hard for me to say no to tacos.
Mm.
Same.
Amen.
Uh-huh. It's hard for me to say no. I don't know. I feel like I've been practicing this for a while, so I'm actually pretty good at saying no. Taco, let me think on that. I'll think of something that...
Okay.
Is there anything you say no to now that you wouldn't have?
Yeah, before? So now I'll turn down, invites to go hang out when I really just don't want to. In the past, I think I would go.
It'd be amazing.
I mean,
never go anywhere.
I know.
I I used to, like, really, I felt like I wanted to be just part of the crowd. So, like, when my friends would go to a dark, loud bar, even though I couldn't see or hear anything, and I hated the experience every time, I would say yes, and I would go, and I would be miserable. But today, I'm at a point where I'm just like, I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather just
read my book
and be boring and be able to just have more one-on-one type conversations that I can follow.
For sure.
Yeah.
So louder places are tough for you.
Yeah. 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 It's more the dark places too, because I can't read lips if it's not bright enough. I have a lot of light sensitivity. So, yeah, it's just the dark, loud places now.
Gotcha. Okay.
Other than the ones that you've shared so far, what have been some defining moments in your life?
Mm-hmm. A defining moment. Let's see. I think one of the defining moments I've had is when I got the job offer and I asked for the salary I wanted. And the salary I wanted was one I had, like, thought it was, like, only possible, like, in my dreams when I was, like, 50, 60 years old. And I had worked my ass off at this job for 6 months. It started out as a contract. And it was the first job I got after being on disability for a couple of years. And so I just worked my ass off to prove to these people that, you know, I'm somebody who's deaf and blind, but, you know, I can perform and I can contribute, and got the offer to convert and ask for a specific salary, and they gave it to me. And I remember being on the bus ride home, just sitting there, and I had this, like, buzzed feeling throughout my whole body and, like, this stupid grin on my face on the bus. Like, I was looking at people like, you know, this lady
is crazy on the bus.
I was like, I can't believe, I hadn't told Ryan yet. I was on my way home and I was just, like, on a cloud going home. And Ryan had been supporting us through our marriage. And I walked in the door and I was like, I got you, babe. You know, I got this.
Sugar mama's home.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was a huge moment for me. It was pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
For probably a bunch of reasons.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was cool.
Have you had to turn down anything to do what you do, either for your job or for life?
Let's see. You know, the thing that I still regret is not being able to pursue architecture. So whenever I'm looking at, you know, other opportunities, I'll always kind of sneak at, you know, what are they doing in, like, urban planning or architecture? Mm-hmm. What are they doing at HOK? And look at the different positions that are there. And I guess it's not turning it down, but there's a part where I'm just like, I can't pursue that or whatever. And maybe I could, like, the industry is changing. But I've just been really focused on doing what's been working so far. Mm-hmm. And just kind of working toward that.
So is diversity and inclusion, do you believe that you have that position because that is, you live with disabilities? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you have an architecture degree. Did you go back to school for that? Or what qualifies you to do that work? Is it just because you're living with it?
No, that's actually a really interesting question, because I'm actually don't plan on staying in diversity and inclusion.
Okay.
Ultimately, I want to do something that I love that has nothing to do with disability.
Okay.
But I'm using this path right now to get to that. And when I started at the company I'm working at, I started on their accessibility team. And, you know, it was very fulfilling work. And I just was naturally suited to do the work because of my disability. But I remember saying to myself, this is just a foot in the door. Ultimately, I want to work for a company that will let me work in something that it's for me to contribute to, not because of my disability.
Yeah.
So really what it's done is just open doors. And when I got the opportunity to move to the diversity and inclusion team at my company, I just saw that as the next step towards that, where I can move away from working specifically in areas for people with disabilities mm-hmm. and kind of broaden you know, my skills and work with other areas besides just disability. And so really I'm just seeing it as sort of the next step to whatever it will be that will be whatever, how I want to contribute at a company or my own business or whatever.
Do you have any ideas of what that'll look like?
Not yet.
Okay. So. That's part of the journey that I like.
Well, I know. And figuring, I mean, there's plenty of 35-year-olds that don't know what they want to be when they grow mm-hmm. up. I mean, mm-hmm. Adam
just,
and I did that a couple years ago.
We just learned.
Right.
And that the jury's still out for one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing a great job.
Well, I think you're doing a great job too, but we have one life, you know? We should probably do whatever we want and mm-hmm. have fun doing it.
It was almost the same thing for me. I don't know about for you. You went to school for culinary work. I went to school to get a certificate to do computers because I knew that that would pay me some money for now until I figured it out. It just took 15 years or 14 years or however long it was for me to go, okay, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do what I want to do.
I think we're so fortunate that we live in a time where, like, we can have multiple careers if we want.
Yeah.
Like, I think of my uncle.
Well, we better because we're working until we're
I know. I mean, my uncle just retired. He's 70. He worked at the same company his entire career.
There's
the same kind of job his entire life.
Like, companies don't even last that long.
Yeah.
Right.
Employee retention.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, that just made me sick to my stomach to think about that. So it's pretty cool to that we get to change careers relatively. I mean, it's not easy, but there's flexibility there.
That whole idea of just working until you're almost dead and then you can retire mm-hmm. is the whole reason why I quit what I was doing.
I feel like I don't want to have, like, retirement. Like,
I don't
want to just be doing nothing. And I know I'm being very naive as I stand here as a 35-year-old, but I hope that I find something that I just love so much that I want to just be contributing to the world somehow until the day I die.
Even if you do retire, like, get retirement, it's still 30 years away for us, like, statistically, like Social Security, like if it's still around,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it's longer than that.
Like 65 years old is old.
I know.
Yeah.
Not old.
Tell our parents.
That. Not old. You know what I'm saying though. Like he is one of our.
Pissed.
Sorry, George. I love you. You know what I'm saying though.
I do. Yeah.
I'll edit that out.
I also don't think that when I retire, whatever that looks like, I'm just going to be doing crossword puzzles.
You're going to be working at, like, Joanne Fabric or something. Like, you want two yards, hon?
Oh, man.
Or something.
I don't know what I would be doing, you know.
Cutting on fabric.
I'd be bussing tables.
Oh, fuck that.
I would love.
Sorry, that's the first time
as a 70-year-old man in a diner.
God.
Give me a rag and one of those paper hats. I will bust tables.
Okay, Adam. Are you going to work at Johnny Rockets?
Maybe.
Where do
free milkshakes?
Wear that anymore?
They got to wear it somewhere. Whatever.
Oh, man. That.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I had an
you
image.
Probably have something
pick this up. Please
contribute.
Pick me up.
I was thinking of, you know, what would I be doing when I'm retired? I had an image of me being this shrunken old lady just playing a cello in the park someday.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
with birds all around you?
Yes. Yeah.
And tuppins?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Mary Poppins.
Yes, that's it.
Tuppins?
See the birds. And she, like, throws.
You've got it. Can you sing the whole thing?
Yeah, of course you can.
But I'm not going to.
Oh.
But those are the coins or things that she throws at the birds. Uh-huh. I don't know why she throws coins at birds, but
whatever.
Let's keep rolling.
What would you say keeps you up at night?
Just what's coming next, like where am I headed? Like I'm just constantly thinking about, you know, the next level, you know, just.
Is it fear? Is it excitement?
Right.
Is it all of that?
No, it's excitement. To see like how I went from being so depressed to being where I'm at today. I'm just more, now I'm just like, wow, like if I can do that, what can happen for me in the next 5 years?
You're just amped about
it. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you. That's a really great place to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you never know. You might not feel as energized or grateful for where you are now if you didn't have the lows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think your lows help you feel the highs better.
Yeah. As much as they suck. I mean, and they suck big time.
Yeah.
They're really useful to look back on as sort of like, wow, this is where I am today. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. What are you reading?
I am reading, it's called Working the Law.
Okay.
Let me look up his name, the author name.
Working the Law, is it about how to break the law and loopholes within
Beavis our... Beavis and Butthead?
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
That's it. No, it's
Thank
sort of...
Thank you for getting that, jeez.
It's about sort of the universal laws and spiritual laws of, you know, the law of attraction, the law of gestation, the law of give and receive. Who wrote it? Raymond Howell.
Mm. How do Working you like it?
Working the law? Halliwell. I'm sorry?
Working the law?
Working the law.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like it?
I love
or do
it.
You?
I love that kind of stuff.
Me too.
Do you listen? Are you an audiobook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you mentioned that you read a ton. Mm-hmm. That's what you're reading now. Can you give us three? Oh my God, you have to read this. What type of book? Do you read everything? Or is it?
I read a lot about like mindset.
Leadership, self-help.
Personal growth.
We're both self-help. Like, all right.
I know. I'm like, the whole time I've been waiting to get to this question.
Yeah. Because, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my whole library is full of it. And then I've got the occasional like Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
The sure. occasional
I've got
Harry
Jane
Potter
Eyre
series?
Somewhere in there.
That's like, that's a.
They only made one.
Let's see. I mean, and there's James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. That was another big one of those like books that I was just like, oh, okay, I get it. A few books by Marianne Williamson. Who's the gentleman that passed away not too long ago? Wayne Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wayne Dyer. Yeah, me too. And I mean, I can go through my whole.
I was just like, if you have three that like.
Like you're like, you have to read.
You have to read this book then.
What about you guys as I'm looking? What are yours?
Right now I'm reading The Infinite Game.
The Infinite Game with
by Simon Sinek. It is...
Ooh, I know Simon.
Uh-huh. So he does a lot of leadership stuff.
Uh-huh.
The book is basically devoted to the idea of there's two types of games to play in life. There's the finite game and the infinite game. And the finite game is... sports, you know what the rules are, you know the timeline, and mm-hmm. you know how to win.
Mm-hmm.
And even certain people play the finite game in business. You know, they know what their job is. They know they have an end in sight. They know what they have to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then certain people choose to play the infinite game, which is you don't really know the rules because they're always changing. You don't really know the goal because it's always resetting. But you basically live within a process. To be the best that you can be and win within yourself as opposed to winning a game.
Yeah.
So it's super interesting. I'm not a lot of the way through it. I'm probably a quarter of the way through it.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm reading right now.
Okay. That's good.
My two favorite books that I've ever read is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Maron, which is great. And Eat That Frog.
Mm.
Business books, which is, yeah. I mean, I'm also listening to Mark Maron's second one, which is Everything is Fucked, which is the sequel to mm-hmm. Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's positive. right now, I'm reading The Obstacle is the Way, and I think it's really interesting. It's not self-serving, but it's very similar to the way I think, so obviously I'm okay with it. But it's just like, you don't, things don't happen to you. You choose to feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. You know, you, mm-hmm. nobody did anything to you. You chose to have that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about that life isn't going to be perfect, or your job or your relationships, they're not going to be perfect. There has to be complications. And so rather than be surprised and have an emotional reaction to that, know that it's going to happen, and that obstacle is now your way. So how do you find joy in that, and how do you learn from it and be better and
mm-hmm.
set your expectations that that will happen, so you're prepared and keep moving on.
Yeah.
I like that book. I like The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
It's very direct, mm-hmm. so I like books like that. I loved Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah, that was amazing.
By David Goggins.
Did yeah, you read that? That's a gut-wrencher.
Ooh, it's so very good.
Autobiography.
It's like those two books times a million on speed. Like,
yeah.
Would you...
It's insane.
Yeah.
It is... So when he... Someone recommended it. It was, I think we started it at the same time, or right about the same time. Somebody mm-hmm. recommended. I may have even seen him on a book tour on Instagram thing that I just saw it, and I was like, oh my God, this guy's
insane.
Yeah. So I thought it was going to be a self-help book, or a leadership book, uh-huh. or a personal development book. Mm-hmm. It very much is.
Yeah.
But it also is an autobiography of the most insane type. His life yeah. was insane, and then mixed with his mindset is one of the coolest things that I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
I actually listened to it in the audiobook version of it in between each chapter. They have like a 7-minute podcast dialogue. It's him and the guy that narrates his
That's
audiobook
cool. yeah.
about what you just
mm-hmm.
read or listened
yeah,
to.
Sure.
It was amazing. Highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just very much quit your belly aching. It's going to hurt. It's meant to hurt mm-hmm. if you can't handle it, by that kind of thing. And I love it.
Yeah.
When you're going through the personal challenges that you're going through and you're listening to that book, you get really pissed off at him. Like, you're like, dude, but it does hurt.
But I really want to have an excuse right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I really have an excuse. Please let me have an excuse. And mm-hmm. then you listen to it and you're like,
oh,
I
can't.
Excuse.
Yeah. It also
like
makes me know
with...
that I could never be in the Army Reserves, much less the Navy SEALs or a Green Beret. Or
do we
just
need
like...
to revisit that you made the t-shirt team in high school?
Okay, I think anyone can... build up their athletic ability.
I'm partial. I don't remember a t-shirt team.
That's because you weren't on it.
I don't think so. I just.
It's just like the varsity football players saying, I don't remember that you played on the bowling team, Bundren.
It was,
obviously, they don't remember that.
It was the C team. It was the participation trophy. So let's go through your books.
Okay, books. So did I mention one already? What I'm reading right now. I talked about the one I'm reading right now. One that was a big, like, whoa, it's called The Brain That Changes Itself.
Okay.
Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Yeah. This came out, I think, I want to say it was like 15 years ago. And this is probably one of those early books that really started to change my mindset. But I grew up thinking that who you are was who you are, and you were stuck with that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this guy talks about the field of neuroscience, which is relatively new, maybe 15, 20 years old. And the way they used to think the brain worked was more of a machine. And once you got to a certain age, everything was set. But what they've realized is that the brain is constantly changing and reprogramming itself. And in the book, it gives different case studies. And the conclusion of the book is that you can reprogram your behaviors, your attitudes, and things like that. And that was the book where I was like, oh, like, I can reprogram, you know, my, you know, confidence. I can reprogram, you know, how I talk to people, how I think about myself. So that was a big one for me, the brain that changes itself.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then another big one for me was, I think I would say it'd be James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. And it's really just a lot about, you know, if you say you can't, you can't. If you say you can kind of thing. And it's just very poetic. And it's a short, easy read. And I still listen to it, like, maybe twice a year, just as sort of like a reminder, you know, of the mindset that I want to maintain.
Yeah. It's such a common, I mean, that's basically what most mindset books boil down to is if you think you can do it, you can, the Henry Ford, right?
Yeah.
If you, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Right.
Whether Napoleon Hill, they're all like that, but I love the deliveries of
the different
ones that we listen to. Yeah. Do you listen to music?
I do.
What do you listen to get pumped up?
To get pumped up, I listen to Sia.
Sia?
Oh, you like Sia? Well. Yeah. Nobody in this room likes Sia.
Nobody likes Sia here.
Just kidding.
We love Sia in this house.
Okay, so I've been listening to our podcast a lot in the past couple days. And my favorite parts of the episodes are like when people get into anecdotal and things like that. And you singing Sia and Sarah interpretive dancing Sia is one of my favorite memories of all time. Like, if I lose my memory, don't look at me like you're going to edit this out, because you're not.
I'm not. I like it. I might edit it.
If I lose my memory, that would be one of those things that I would be afraid to not be able to remember.
And if we're ever able to upload our consciousness, I want to be able to take that memory and see what happens. I want to see her.
I would love for you to see it, not hear it.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that...
The dancing was fantastic. The
singing, Adam's costume average. Was...
My favorite...
Adam dresses Sia like the singer, and Sarah dressed like the little girl and danced like the little girl in Chandelier. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my whole life. Not heard.
Whoa.
It was...
I think I did okay. Steve told me First of all, Steve Elgin told me that I stole the show.
No.
Stop.
Sarah.
Let's
stole
stop. Let's
the
stop.
The you singing that song was amazing.
Here was my favorite part.
It was so screechy and amazing. And Sarah danced better than the little girl. Like, it was.
It was
and she
fine.
Was in a nude bodysuit. So it was just like.
Oh my gosh, my cheeks are hurting just thinking about this.
The best part of the entire thing was, so I knew while I was singing, I was like, oh, this is rough.
Sure.
But I, in true Sia fashion and being in character, sang with a microphone with my face up against the wall, not looking at anyone because that's what she does.
Yeah.
And so all I could hear were these cheers and howls, and it was like, and when the song was over and I turned around and there's 40 people at this party, maybe?
Minimum.
And they are on top of each other in a circle, screaming like we just, like Marky Mark just got done doing a dance off.
It was amazing.
It was and I turned around and I was like, for me?
No.
I forgot I had a partner at that point, but it was the coolest feeling.
It was commitment
feeling.
To the craft.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
Enough about us.
No, I love this.
What
do you listen to?
Besides Sia, what is there anything else that like you listen to get jacked up?
To get jacked up specifically.
Or just what do you listen to like on a daily basis?
Well, I do want to share.
I listen to Jim Croce to get jacked up, so the standards are pretty low.
Yeah. I literally, I had a Lyft ride to work yesterday. And the guy had this really cool, chill music on. And I asked him, you know, what station is this? It's called Lush Lo-Fi, and it's on Spotify. It's this huge, long playlist. And it's just super chill. And I've been listening to it nonstop. And it just gets me in the zone. And I am just being super productive. And I'm just all about it right now. So
okay.
Lush Lo-Fi, Spotify.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Top three movies.
Star Wars is top.
Just the whole saga?
No, I...
Because we just started it. I've seen the first one and the second one in different pieces because I keep falling asleep. I can fall asleep right here because I'm talking to me. 11 times. We've watched those first two 11 times in different segments.
I think I would say Empire Strike Back. I like one of the original.
Which one is that?
Number 5. I know that because I've seen
it. Well, like, so is that like 1, 2, or 3?
It's the second one ever created.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Return of the Jedi is the third one.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Okay. I think it is.
It's Star Wars.
What's the first one?
Empire.
New Hope.
Is that it? Yeah.
Stop. Just stop.
You haven't seen it. No one calls it that, though.
No. They call it by the title of... They call it A New Hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
And then Return of the Jedi. And then after that, I know.
And then it's all the
other ones. And then it just gets all scrambled.
And then people are like, oh, that's so 7, that's not a favorite 1.
Movie. So the second one.
The second one is going to be... have you guys ever seen... what's the name of the movie? With Buttercup.
Toy Soldiers?
No. With Buttercup and Wesley.
Buttercup
and Wesley? Princess Bride?
Princess Bride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And the third one would be, I don't know, something. Probably a Disney movie.
Oh, yes. Do you have Disney Plus?
But which one? Yeah, I definitely got that. Have you guys seen Mandalorian?
Stop. No, I'm not going to watch it until we watch all the movies.
Mike just started watching it. He likes it.
He does? People can't stop talking about it.
I walk in the room and I'm like, oh, Yoda's cute, but I'm not a sci-fi
Baby
person.
Yoda is so cute.
Yeah. Very cute.
Yeah. I think a third movie would be, I really like Keira Knightley, and I would say... It is such a chick flick, but Love Actually. It's like a comfort movie that I constantly go back to.
I thought you were going to say Pirates.
No.
Because I like Pirates, but Love Actually is great.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you travel?
I do.
Mm-hmm. What is one of your pet peeves when traveling?
My pet peeve? It's kind of like... It's obvious, but it's just more like when I go to the airport and I have my cane and it's very apparent that I can't see. And the agent is like, comes up to me or, you know, they're like, next please. And I don't know if it's me or not.
Come on.
They have their hand out to take the ticket, but I don't see that they have their hand out and they just stand there and wait for me as if like... So I'm trying to find, like, where's the hand, you know, and then, like, I hand it to them, like, it's just like, come on, help me out a little bit, you know, like.
I'm effing blindish.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Or it's the opposite.
Use your eyeballs and find my ticket.
Or it's the opposite. I'm such a prick sometimes. Or it's the opposite, where they're overdoing it. They're like, they come up and they grab me and they're like, they take the, and they hold on my hand as they take the ticket and then they put it back in my hand and they escort me down all the way to the escalator and they're like, do you need anything? Are you doing, am I walking too fast? Am I going too slow? And it's just like really overwhelming and I'm like, I can handle it, you know, but I don't want to be an asshole and say like, fuck off, you know, so it's just like, there's like a nice balance in between that I expect everybody to know.
Good. Great. Oh, that's funny.
Who is one person that you know that you think we should know?
I think you should know Ryan, my husband. Has met him a couple of times. He's just super fun. He's super fun to be around. He's really interesting too, really smart. I met him because he was a personal trainer. And at the time, I was doing Megan Foundation, and I was doing fundraisers for the Usher syndrome that I have for research. And a friend of mine who used to help me plan those events worked out at his gym, and she invited him to the event, and he couldn't go, but he was like, "Can I offer some personal training sessions for the silent auction?" And my friend was like, could you do them for Megan? And so she arranged us to meet and we met, we fell in love, and we got married. But he's just super interesting because he does a lot of these different things with improving health and longevity and just feeling good overall, and just has a lot of, like, he's just like a plethora. I know that's not the right word. He's just like an encyclopedia of information of how different foods can impact you. And then he's just also has a really great sense of humor and can just jump into kind of anything and roll with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if I share the connection with the Matthew Shepard Foundation?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, so we were driving over here. I was explaining to Megan about the podcast, who were some of our guests, and I had said that Kate's one of our favorite episodes, and
yeah,
how at the end she'd said in her top three movies
right
was one was Matt Shepard is a friend of mine, and you know, she knew him, and you had just kind of done a little bit of research and dug a little bit deeper on their foundation, all that. So can you share what why you had to learn that and what your involvement is, or what your connection is with them, I guess I should say?
Yeah, I didn't know about the Matthew Shepard Foundation until, you know, a few months ago. And the way I came across it was at work, I'm launching these business resource groups, and one of them is for the LGBTQ resource group. And the company and the group sponsored a table at the Matthew Shepard Gala that they had in October. A member who sits in Denver reached out to us, and they asked if we could provide funding or a sponsorship, and we agreed to it. And we sent 10 members to attend the gala. And with that sponsorship, we also get a sort of a keynote speech delivered by his parents who run the organization. So we're working on that event in 2020 for them to come to the company and talk about, I suppose, I don't know exactly what they talk about, but I imagine it'll be about the experience and the work that they do and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I literally just learned about them a few months ago. So I was just so taken aback when you mentioned, you know, you were like, do you know Matthew Shepard? And I was like, yeah, actually.
There you go.
Yeah. There you
go. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Megan, is there anything we didn't ask you or we didn't cover that we should have? Or is there maybe any burning criticism to people who don't have disabilities that should know that you have the floor and the mic to express what people should do or not do?
No burning criticism, probably more just, you know, gratitude that we live in the time and day that we do live in, where there's just so much opportunity, not only opportunity, but the opportunity to really craft what that opportunity is going to be. So, no criticism, just gratitude.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for being on
the
show.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on. Appreciate thanks for coming
it.
Down.
This is great.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Oh, are you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you listen on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.